Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Labor Department says the four-week moving average of workers filing claims for jobless benefits rose to 483,250 from 2,500 the prior week. It was the highest level since the week of October 20th, 2001, in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. The number of people remaining on the benefits roll after drawing an initial week of aid rose 40,000 for the week ending October 4th, and that was the highest since June of 2003. Meanwhile, the consumer price index for September was essentially flat. Stripping out energy and food products, core prices inched up by just 0.1% in September, an improvement from a 0.2% advance in August. Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 8,671. It's up just over 93 points. The NASDAQ at 1663, and it's up just over 34 points. Export sales reports are delayed until Friday due to the Columbus Day holiday.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kuser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And here we are now on the 16th of October. We're just past the midpoint of the month, and we have more fall-like weather coming in. During the last 24 hours, rain fell over many of the Corn Belt production areas from central Iowa eastward through Ohio, and amounts were highly variable. Here at WILL, we picked up 3/4 of an inch of rain. Springfield and Peoria, just over a 0.5 inch. Chicago area, around 1/4 inch. Some places in Indiana, especially northern Indiana, got heavy rainfall. Over an inch around Kokomo and Peru, but to the south in Indiana, much lighter amounts, generally well under 1/4 inch. In Ohio, thus far only a few hundredths of an inch around Columbus, heavier amounts to the northwest, about 3/4 inch in northwestern Ohio. Bottom line is, much of the Corn Belt's received rain the last couple of days, so that's going to put a delay in harvest operations for a couple days, but we do have dry weather that's returned. It's already sunny outside our window, and it appears that we're going to have generally dry weather for the next several days, and that means that harvest operations will be able to resume after just a couple-day break in most areas. Looking ahead on the maps, we don't see any big weather systems coming in soon. There may be a few spotty showers here and there from Iowa into Illinois and western Indiana on Friday, but nothing of any great consequence. Then a frontal system may come through with a few showers late Monday, but then again, not much of anything of any consequence. Then maps show another round of a few showers on Wednesday, but generally light. And basically, that's the story. The maps don't really show any significant rainfall until around the 26th or 27th of October, and that's so far out that there's a lot of uncertainty on that. As far as temperatures go, we are going to be running cooler now, so maturation rates on those crops that are not yet at full maturity will be slowing down, as is typical of this time of year. And we're also going to see the end of the growing season in some areas. In fact, we did this morning across much of northern Iowa, southeastern South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and eastern Nebraska. Low temperatures were around 32 or lower in many of those areas. Some of the cooler readings were in eastern South Dakota, Sioux Falls down to 27. And you go north of there around Watertown, about 25 degrees this morning, and generally 25 to 30 for lows in eastern South Dakota. In Minnesota, southern Minnesota, outside of Minneapolis, St. Paul. The urban heat island kept the temperature there 35, but outside of there, low temperatures generally 28 to 32. In Iowa, the northern half of Iowa, with the exception of maybe right along the Mississippi River, had lows 28 to 32. 28 this morning in Sioux City, for example, and Mason City down to 28 this morning. Des Moines down to 35, but north and west of Des Moines, temperatures were at or below freezing this morning. And some of those colder readings are going to be moving in our general direction. So frost will occur in northwestern Illinois tonight. So temperature, official temperatures will probably stay a little above freezing, but it will be frosty up there tonight. And then on tomorrow night into Saturday morning, scattered frost into parts of central Illinois and central Indiana. And then on Sunday morning, the eastern parts of the belt will get scattered frost. I don't think it'll be an end to the growing season everywhere, but there will be at least a chance of frost, and that will become more of a possibility from time to time the rest of this month on some of the colder nights. But none of that is unusual for this time of year. Briefly touching on South America, it looks like a few spotty showers may work back into Argentina early next week, so that will give them some needed moisture for planting season. In Brazil, the hot dome of air is slowly retreating to the north, but Mato Grosso do Sul, Sao Paulo, Minas Gerais on northward will be hot again today and tomorrow. Showers and thunderstorms will develop in southern areas, and some of the rain over the weekend could be heavy around Rio Grande do Sul and other southern states. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, December wheat opened at 591, up one on the open. The last trade there down 3.75. March, 604 down 3.5, and last trade down 3.75. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 554.75, down one. Last trade down 4.75. July, $6 down 2.5. Last trade down 4.5. December corn opened at 385.25, down 2.75. Last trade down one. March, 403, down 3.5. Last trade down 3.25. July, 426.25, down 1.5. Last trade down 3/4. November beans open at 850, down 8. Last trade down 9. January, 863, down 9.5. Last trade down 9.5. July, 893.75, down 9. Last trade down 15.25. December soybean meal open at 242.50, down $2. Last trade down 220. December soybean oil open at 35, down 53. Last trade down 55. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
No export sales reports to talk about till tomorrow. What's the grain trader going to do today?
I think we are going to key off these outside markets like we've done for about 3.5 weeks, where you had really a collapsing Dow Jones yesterday. The Dalian market was lower overnight in China. The Malaysian palm oil was lower. The crude market's lower first thing this morning, so I think we've got a lower open in front of us. Fund selling was evident yesterday in the corn. We're going to be down 3, maybe as much as 6 or 7 cents. We still have some hedge funds that are liquidating, and they have positions in corn.
How much more of that liquidation phase do you think we're having to go through to flush out the longs?
I don't know from a time standpoint how much longer we're going to do, but keep in mind that these funds are so large they cannot liquidate a position in a real short period of time. I think we probably have on the hedge funds things skinnied up at least 50% by now.
Turn your attention to the soybeans.
On the bean market, we'll be down a dime, maybe as much as 15 cents, just on these outside market collapses and a weak crude market. Yesterday, I thought it was interesting that the meal market held together reasonably well while the bean oil just fell apart and showed limit losses.
I get an idea that the close today might be pretty important in that bean market.
I think the close will be important on the bean market today. If we can hold the nearby beans up over $8, I think there's going to be some people that come in and cover some of their shorts. Speaking of closes, we did slip under $3.80 in the D's corn overnight on the trade.
Yeah, it kind of opens up the possibility of looking at 358, 350 in that area somewhere.
Yes, I think so. The wheat market, Dave, be down 5 cents, maybe as much as 8 cents. Demand looks a little better than expected.
All right, then. Let's look over on the CME livestock side.
On the livestock, I think the cattle futures, again, will show weakness. We were down pretty hard yesterday in the live cattle. The crashing cutout market has just been horrendous on this cattle market. On the hogs, though, we could see some support. I would look to be up 20, maybe as much as 50 cents.
You're seeing enough in this market to begin to think that, I'm looking back at the grain, about 30 seconds left, that you might consider going in and buying some calls?
It may be a little bit early, but on the first day that we see some kind of a decent reversal, I would sure take a serious look at it. I wouldn't go out too far. I'd be spending enough money only to go to March or May.
Thank you very much, Ellen. You have a great day today. Ellen Dearden, she's with Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois, joins us every Thursday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.